Well, I'd like to welcome everybody this morning. I hope on this rainy, cold Sunday morning that you're at home warm and dry and got a good cup of coffee ready for a time of worship and a time from the Word. I know the church, we're still far apart from each other, but this morning let's join in one spirit and one heart as we come before God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy that you show us every day. We thank you that you love us, and your love is never ending and it never fails. Lord, I know during this time we are still apart as a church, and there's still fear and uncertainty in the world, but we know that you're in complete control of all things. And this morning we want to come together in our faith, in our spirit, and come before you as a church and not only worship you, but hear from your word. So I ask you to bless this time this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen. Truly is our salvation. Now this morning we are going to get back to our study through the book of Ephesians. So I suggest you, encourage you to have your Bible, and we'll be in chapter 5 of Ephesians starting with verse 15. But before I get to my sermon, I must share something that's heavy on my heart this morning. Now last week I tried to bring an encouraging sermon for the times that we're dealing and living in. And this week I want to encourage as well, but also challenge us. I want to begin with the fact, the simple fact that God loves you. And I love you. And since you were loved, the truth must be shared. That is what true love does. Love is kind, love is patient, but love also does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And the truth is what I must always share as a pastor. The Apostle Paul, writing to the young pastor Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, wrote this: I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, with patience, great patience, and teaching. There are times I must, in love, rebuke believers who have strayed from the truth of God's word. And this morning, I want us to review quickly what we've learned so far in this book of Ephesians. Back in chapter 4, we read, "And I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you were called." That as believers in Jesus Christ, we are called to walk in a worthy manner before God, to honor Him, to obey Him. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him." We've also learned in this book of Ephesians, in verse 1 of chapter 5, "Therefore be imitators of God as dear children." To be an imitator of someone, you must study that person. You must get to know that person so you can successfully imitate them. We are called to imitate God. And to do this, we must seek and imitate Christ. And we do this out of love, since He gave Himself for us. We seek sanctification, surrendering our lives to God as living sacrifices, allowing the Holy Spirit to conform us to the image of Christ. That is what true believers do. We seek sanctification. We desire for Christ to be honored in every aspect of our lives, from the largest down to the smallest aspect, that we obey Him in everything as He has instructed us in His word. And I want to read another passage from chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 3. "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you, as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." The Bible is clear. A believer cannot be a person who remains in their old ways. A true believer will not be seeking to live in or practice sinfulness any longer. But today, there are many teachers out there, false ones, that teach that a believer can live immoral lifestyles. A believer can enjoy the sinfulness of the world and the blessings of God at the same time. That a believer can have one foot in the darkness of sin and one foot in the light of truth. These are false teachings. God has called us out of the darkness. And this verse 3 and 4 here of this chapter, especially verse 4 I want to focus on. "Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting." This language here that Paul is addressing is speech that is obscene, degrading, dirty, suggestive, and immoral. And here's this morning where I must rebuke some of my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning. As we are all at home and a lot of spare time, I've been on Facebook more than usual. And I have been noticing a trend, and something that I felt I needed to address with some of my church members. There are those that are putting very encouraging things, posting encouraging things on Facebook, godly things, Christ-centered things. But at the same time, they are posting things that are immoral, suggestive, obscene. To post one thing about Jesus Christ, then turn around and post something that has foul language or is obscene, that does not fit with an obedient follower of Jesus Christ. Today, especially during this pandemic, the times we're living, the unbelieving world needs to see a real church standing strong in the Lord. Not a corrupt church. Not a compromising church. A true church. Unbelievers in this world need to see true believers standing strong in the Lord. Not believers who are compromising or becoming corrupt. They don't need to see a conflicting view coming from the church or from believers in Jesus Christ. A view that contradicts itself. The unbelieving world needs to see true believers living out their faith. When we post things about God, then we post something that is vulgar or has foul language. What does that show the unbelieving world? What does that show the unbelievers that you are connected with? Basically, what you're saying with your posts, there is no difference between them and us. An unbeliever needs to see in us Jesus Christ. They need to see the truth of Christ. They need to see the righteousness of Christ. They need to see their desperate need for Jesus Christ themselves. But if those who have Jesus continue to look and act like unbelievers, or even worse, act like a faithful believer one minute, then turn around and act like an unbeliever the next, the charge of hypocrite is well deserved. Believers who try to have one foot with Jesus and one foot still in the world harm the cause of Christ. They damage the gospel. They cause the unbelieving world not to see their desperate need of Jesus Christ, because to them, we are no different than they are. We are called to be in this world, but not of this world. We are called to be light, not darkness. And to be honest, it's very discouraging to me as a pastor to see some of my church members posting things that are foul and vulgar. This is not fitting for saints. Not fitting for believers in Jesus Christ. And in all love, some of you need to repent. Some of you need to wake up, get off the fence, stop trying to have one foot in the world and one foot with Jesus. We are called to be imitators of God, to walk in faith, to be well-pleasing before Him. In the book of James, it says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness. Lay it aside. An overflow of wickedness, it should not be said of us. And receive with meekness the implanted word of God, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It is time for believers to act like believers. Not to play the role of a believer, but to live it. To live it in every way. We have to stop wasting time with one foot in the world and one foot with God. The time we have to truly serve our Lord and Savior is actually short, which we will be talking about today. We have a limited time to love our neighbor as Christ has commanded us to do. But if we are showing them a false view of what it means to follow Christ, we are not truly loving our neighbors. Paul wrote about this very thing in Romans chapter 13, verse 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, knowing the time, then now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Now is the time to wake up. Now is the time, even more so, people during this pandemic are looking and searching for hope. We need to show them Jesus Christ. We need to show them not that we're better than anybody else, but that we have something that they desperately need, Jesus Christ. How can we do that if we're showing them that we're just like them, that there's nothing different in us? We are called to be different. Not to boast and look down on people that we're better, but that we've been forgiven, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and they need that too. So this morning, I want us to understand how precious the time that we have is. And it's a limited time to show people Jesus Christ. I've entitled this sermon, Redeeming the Time. And again, we'll be in chapter 5. We'll begin with verse 15. And as I've already spoken, so far in this series, we have been commanded to be imitators of God, of Jesus Christ, to live our lives showing agape love. We need to love God and we need to love others. We've also seen the difference between the fruit or evidence of a true believer compared to the fruit of a non-believer. Fruit of light versus the fruit of darkness. We've been commanded to be obedient to the Word of God. To leave all darkness, to abandon sinful ways of the past, and embrace the new. Now today, Paul calls us to be wise in the Lord, for the time is short. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Circumspectly is to be accurate, to be precise, to take great care. So Paul is saying that we must walk with great accuracy, with great precision, with great care as believers in Jesus Christ. Not as fools. We are called to be wise in the Lord, to conduct ourselves accurately, precisely, carefully, according to the Word of God. This only comes from taking in the knowledge of the Word of God. Now, wisdom and knowledge are both recurring themes in the Bible. They are related, but they are not the same. The dictionary defines wisdom as the ability to discern or judge what is true, right, or lasting. Knowledge, on the other hand, is information gained through experience, reasoning, or circumstances. Now, knowledge can exist without wisdom. I'm sure we all know somebody who's very knowledgeable in things, but doesn't seem very wise. Knowledge can exist without wisdom, but wisdom cannot exist without knowledge. One can be knowledgeable without being wise. Knowledge is knowing how to use a firearm. Wisdom is knowing when to use it and when to keep it holstered. And we as believers in Jesus Christ are called to be wise. And for us, Jesus is our wisdom. To seek Him is to seek wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, Paul writes, "But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption." Jesus Christ is the truth. He said it about Himself, "I am the truth." Jesus is the Word that was in the beginning, that was with God and was God. And Christ is all wisdom. So as we seek Christ, as we seek His knowledge and apply that knowledge, we begin to gain wisdom. Seeking Christ is everything. As we seek to imitate Christ, as we seek His knowledge and apply it and obey it, we will become wise in the Lord. Let's go back to Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. How much time do we have to serve God? How much time do we have to bring Him glory in this life? Well, for many, many come to Jesus Christ later in life. I came to Jesus Christ at the age of 28. So I wasted many years, good portion of my early adulthood, serving myself, serving my own cause. And well, many of us have done that. We've wasted good portion of our lives serving ourselves or serving causes that have no eternal value. So now our time is limited since we've come to Christ later in our life. Second, our lives are but a vapor in the wind, the Bible says. We don't live very long. 70, 80 years maybe. And just the older a person gets, the faster time seems to go. So we really only have a short time to serve God and His cause, to fulfill our purpose in this life, to bring all glory to Him. And then there's another aspect about time. For one generation of the church, time will end suddenly with the rapture of the church. At that moment, there'll be no more time to serve God. There'll be no more time to reach those who are lost. And we, with all the things that are happening and the signs of the times the scriptures point out, we could easily be that generation. So time is very precious to us. We don't know exactly how much time we have left. But whatever time we have left is not to be wasted. We are called to redeem the time because the days are evil. People are being deceived all around us. Some have been deceived in not believing in God at all. Many others are told to believe in false teachings about God. Others to believe in false gods and religions. People are falling prey to deception and sin everywhere we look. Lives are being destroyed, marriages being destroyed, families being destroyed. People are dying each day. And as we are appointed to die only once, and then the judgment, the days are truly evil around us. We only have a certain amount of time to bring glory to God, to serve His cause, and help those who are lost to find salvation. Verse 17 of chapter 5. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't be unwise in God's will, but be wise in what the will of God is. And we have been saying this for a while. Sanctification is the will of God. Sanctification of each believer. We see this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. Again, sanctification is conforming to the image of Christ, being Spirit-filled so we can better imitate God. Now, let me make another point here today. You're hearing a lot of churches talk about experiencing God. Come to our service, come to our church and experience God. People go to worship services to experience God. Nowhere in Scripture does it tell us to experience God. We are to know God. We are to seek Him. We are to imitate Him, but not experience Him. This whole attitude of experiencing God at worship services is a cheap substitute for a real relationship with God. But since that relationship takes hard work and dedication, it is easier to experience God through emotional music, signs and wonders, and a fluffy feel-good message. This is why so many needed to have some kind of service during this coronavirus pandemic. Their only so-called connection with God is through an emotional worship service, because they don't really have a real day-to-day relationship with God. They have been deceived. They have been taught falsely. Do you want to experience God for real? Then do God's will. Be truly saved, born again, then seek God in the relationship He has offered you. Seek this sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be able to imitate Christ, because you'll know Christ. And you can use your life to serve Him and others. Stop seeking emotions and spiritual highs. Seek the Lord in the trenches of life. Walk daily with Him. And when crisis happens, you're not dependent on a church service or some pastor to get through it. You'll have Jesus Christ. You'll have your relationship, that foundation to stand strong. Seek the will of God, which is sanctification. Let's go back to Ephesians 5, verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Do not be drunk with wine, Paul says, which is dissipation, which is defined as a descent into drunkenness. And it's connected with, and in that, in the dictionary, is connected with sexual dissipation. The squandering of money, energy, and resources. Just like alcohol can take control of you in a negative way, causing you to do all sorts of things that you would not rather, not any other time, do. The alcohol makes you lose control. We are called to be the exact opposite. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. To be under control, self-control. And being filled with the Holy Spirit under His control is again what sanctification is all about. Being filled and controlled by the Spirit, He is allowed to transform us, to conform us to the image of Christ. Now, filled does not mean you get more of the Holy Spirit if you seek Him. Doesn't mean that there are times the Holy Spirit will be more on you than others. No. You are filled with the Spirit. You were given the Spirit at salvation. Filled here means your life is completely given over. That you are not holding back any area of your life from the Holy Spirit. From the largest aspects down to the smallest aspect. Your life is filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit, bringing your life into complete obedience and honor to God. The Holy Spirit has full access and control in your life. Through that control and that surrender, the transformation of us into the image of Christ happens. The Bible also refers to this as walking in the Spirit. We see this in Galatians chapter 5 when the Apostle Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. To walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the sin nature, the old person, who we used to be before Christ. But each one of us that has been born again now have the Holy Spirit. We're new creations in Christ, called to walk in a new way. But we still have the old sin nature. And that nature wants to take back over. It is a daily struggle, sometimes a minute-by-minute struggle. But we must be wise in this. We must understand that our nature is to look to self, to be sinful. We must guard against this. We must remain humble before God, realizing how much we need Him and the power of His Holy Spirit to walk in a worthy manner before God, to walk in a wise manner. A true believer seeks sanctification, seeks this power given to us by the Holy Spirit to imitate Christ. And if we seek sanctification, we've also learned that we must seek the Word of God, which sanctifies us. Jesus said it Himself in John 17:17, "Sanctify them by Your truth. Your Word is truth." To grow in knowledge through the study of God's Word, to be able to apply the knowledge that we have taken in and turn it into wisdom so that we may do His will. Sanctification is not passive on our part. Yes, the Spirit brings the sanctification, but we must seek it and surrender to it. When the Spirit, through the Word of God, reveals something about ourselves that does not conform to the Word of God, and there will be many times this will happen to us. The Word of God will reveal something that is not in us or that we work against. When the Spirit reveals these negative aspects about us, where we fall short of what God is calling us to as believers, that is part of the sanctification process. That is part of the process where we must acknowledge where we fail and surrender that to God. Seek to rid ourselves of the behavior that the Word is revealing in us that does not conform to God. And we replace that with obedience to what He has called us to do. Being led by the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being filled with the Spirit. These are the evidence of a true believer. That's why it says, if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Unbelievers are under the law. But those who have the Spirit are those who are under the new covenant. The ones who have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, who are saved, who have been born again. Now, Paul points out the exact opposite of a false believer. He points out what the false believer will show in their life. Galatians 5, verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, and just as I have also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This list that Paul gives here in Galatians chapter 5 are aspects of a person who does not know Jesus Christ. Now, there's something here I must go a little farther into. We know from Scripture, especially the church of Corinth, the Corinthians, they had a lot of things wrong with them and their church. Paul sends a letter to correct all the sinfulness that was going on. They were very sinful people, but he still calls them saints. What this has come down to is that people, there are believers who we call carnal Christians. They're still living in the flesh. They have the Spirit. They've been saved, but they have not been discipled. They have not grown in the faith. And so a lot of the old remains. And they are carnal Christians. Now, why I explain this is that an unbeliever and a carnal Christian pretty much look the same. It's hard to tell a carnal believer from an unbeliever. There are many today in our country and around the world that say they're believers in Jesus Christ, but they live like sinners. They live like unbelievers. So how do we know if a person is a carnal Christian or an unbeliever? Well, the carnal Christian, because they have the Holy Spirit within them, when they are confronted with the truth of God's word and His will, a true believer, even a carnal one, will repent. Just like most of the Corinthians did when Paul confronted their sinfulness. An unbeliever will not repent. They will not seek to obey God. And in rejecting God and His truth, they miss out on the fruit of His Spirit. In this same chapter, chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is this: love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We have crucified the old self. We have crucified with Christ the sinfulness of our past. We no longer want to have a foot in the world and a foot with God. We want both feet with Christ. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. As believers, we can have Jesus Christ on the inside, but are we going to let Him have the full inside of our lives, every aspect, so that when He is shown on the outside, when the inside is full and the outside is conformed, then people will see what it truly means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That is what we are called to do. Now let's go back to Ephesians 5. Verse 17. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. As believers in Jesus Christ, as we seek sanctification, as we seek to have the Spirit fill every aspect of our life, that every aspect of ourselves will come under obedience to Him and honor Him. As we are all on this journey together, we are to encourage one another. We are to lift each other up in the faith. Iron sharpens iron. We are here to worship God together. We are called to be thankful and giving of thanks to the Lord. We are called to submit to one another, to esteem others better than ourselves. This is the character of a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, who has taken their place in the church to fulfill and be obedient to God's will. This is not an easy calling. And there are going to be times we all fail at this. But because we have the Spirit of God, because we have the Word of God, and because we have the love of God in our lives, God's will can be accomplished in our life. We can overcome this world. We can overcome darkness and sin. We can overcome. But we have to be honest with ourselves. And where we are still holding on to the world, we must let go. We must become the church not here in this building, but out in the world. We must show to everyone in every way that we can the goodness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We cannot compromise. And when we fail, we own it, we repent of it, and we get back up and we try harder. But once we start getting comfortable, once we allow ourselves to go to sleep in our faith, we start to compromise. What will stop us from compromising? What will help us in this sanctification process? Again, it's quite simple. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. This is the key. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It's one thing to take in the knowledge of God. It's one thing to grow in the knowledge of what the Bible says. But if we do not apply it, if we do not let it change us, if we do not conform to it and obey it, then we are not becoming wise. Remember, knowledge is not wisdom. It's time to stop just learning and taking in the knowledge. It is time to apply it to every aspect of our lives as the church. Redeeming the time. It is time to be serious about who we are in Christ, what we have been called to do. It is serious time to see what is happening, that people are being lost and people are being deceived, and we have been called to be light. It is time for us to take the word of Christ seriously and be found in the wisdom of the Lord in this life. No more compromising. No more having one foot in the world and one foot with Christ. We are called to teach and admonish one another in the psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. In closing, I want to return to Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. As I said earlier, we are all on this journey together to be His church and to be faithful, to walk in a worthy manner before Him, to fulfill our purpose, which is to bring glory to God. And the most we can bring, the most glory we can bring God is to bring others to Him so that more and more will love Him and glorify Him. So that's why we share the gospel. So people can be saved and glory can be brought to God. But we must do this in a wise manner. We cannot compromise anymore. We must take our faith seriously. We must take sanctification seriously. And we must show the world the righteousness and the goodness and the faithfulness and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ. Having no spot and no wrinkle. It is time for us to awake. I want to close with a song. It's an old song. Trust and obey. Yes, we are called to trust God, but we are also called to obey God. And one of the verses, I think it's the second one in the song, says, "But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay." Till we are ready to fully become a living sacrifice for God. Until we are fully ready to lay all our lives, all aspect of our lives before Him, you will not experience the fullness and the goodness of God. Because somewhere in your life you're holding back. I want to encourage you this morning to let those areas go. Surrender them to God. Become obedient in those areas. Let us honor God in every aspect of our lives. As His church, as His disciples. Let us concentrate and dedicate ourselves to showing Him in every way we can. And letting an unbelieving world see what a true believer has in Christ. What they need in Christ. And that our church, whether together in a group or spread out across this town, we will be found faithful. And we will be about honoring and glorifying our Lord and Savior. So I encourage you to listen and sing along with this song.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Joy.
ask you to help us as a church and as individual believers to trust completely in you and to obey. Lord, we thank you for your grace and the mercy that you've poured into our lives. Lord, we lift up our president, our governors, and our city officials to you during this pandemic. I ask you to give our leaders wisdom, a heart of cooperation, a coming together for the good of the people. Lord, I pray for those that are sick, Lord, that they will come through this sickness, that you'll bring healing. And Lord, we pray for a quick end to this pandemic, that a cure, a vaccine can be found, and that this pandemic will come to an end. Lord, we pray for those who have lost a loved one during this time. I ask you to comfort them, bring them your peace. Lord, I pray for those who have been laid off during this time, that you will provide for them. And again, the economy will get back up and working soon. For the businesses that are hurting. But during this time, Lord, I pray that the church will be the church. And that through this difficult time, a time that we want to end, that you'll work, Lord, and you'll bring people to your saving knowledge. That we as the church will use this time and all the time that we have left to serve you, to honor you, to glorify you. Or let us redeem the time. And Lord, I pray for those who are lost in the world. They will see their desperate need to come out of darkness and into the light of your truth. How much you love them. And that you died for them. And that today is the day of salvation. Lord, continue to take care of all our church members. Continue to help us to stay healthy and free of the virus and continue to be the church and reach out and do as much as we can in these difficult times. And until we can come back together as a body, Lord, help us to stay connected in spirit and in truth. And we pray this in your blessed name. Amen.